You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
In the builders category for the 2018 class, Jerry.
That's right, you pigeons. Jerry's going to be enshrined in the hall forever and ever.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
And Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 The Queensway or online, bestpc.ca. So, you and I know how this works. We got Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. Are you familiar with Jerry's?
I've been on your show before, yes.
Okay, so you know
also
how this works.
Sponsored by Jerry's Jewelers. Every kiss begins with Jerry's.
All right, so Jerry's going to have a hot take out of the gate. Well, he's going to have a statement out of the gate. Because I don't believe he's doing this live from New York. I'm pretty sure he's halfway around the world. You want to hear from Jerry?
This is Hall of Fame Jerry calling in takes from Beijing, where the Chinese actually show respect for a legend. Nothing but cheers for Jerry on this side of the globe. If Jerry had it his way, he'd flip Canada with China geographically and live happily ever after. Forever and ever. I'll do a Pierre LeBrun chair move for Canada.
That was completely uncalled for.
Unnecessary.
Another Pierre LeBrun shot by Jerry. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he hates Pierre.
I thought we made a rule about that.
No.
And he hates Canada, as we know, and he loves China. He's over in China because the Bruins and the Flames are over there, and they played again today.
Gee, I wonder if they're going to the next Olympics. Like, I wonder.
Yeah. It would almost be shocking if they didn't get there. Although it'll be collectively bargained, and that'll be a part of the whole debate, and Players Association, and the league. And anyway, Jerry's over in Beijing having a great time, and I guess they are showing him a lot of respect. Nothing but cheers for Jerry.
Didn't they do the same thing for Trump?
When he was in China?
Yeah, do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
They did
like
a whole big parade. And
oh, that's right, yeah. In Saudi Arabia, they hooked him up. Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
You guys ready for the hot takes from Jerry?
Here's some lava for all you loser Leaf fans salivating over one stupid preseason game. If they stay healthy, both Tavares and Marner will finish with over 80 points. Those sons of bitches looked like Gretzky and Curry last night. Old Noodles was hating it from Ottawa, wasn't he?
Now, that's not fair, because I'm sure Noodles was enjoying watching that display from Tavares and Marner last night.
No, he wasn't.
And Noodles is calling a Leaf game tonight, and he's very impartial. Leaf sends on TSN 4 and on TSN 5. But the gist of that is that if they're healthy, let's presume they play 82 games together, Tavares and Marner will both finish with 80-plus points.
65% for me. Both healthy, 80-plus points. That's high. That must seem high. But healthy, I think these guys are going to be dialed in. And if they get that power play unit with Austin Matthews and they're both on it, as has been mentioned, that's going to be some pointage. 65%.
I think I'd actually go higher. Like, I'm going to put it at 75. Tavares had 84 points, I believe, last year. He had 37 goals. And now he's playing with Marner, and now, like you mentioned, the power play. Like, he had 30 power play points last year. Imagine, like, what the possibilities are this year. And Marner in the second half was, like, a top 10 scorer. So maybe 75 is even low?
I'm going to go lower than that, though, because Mitch Marner had a brilliant second half. Brilliant. And there were times in the first half when he was on the fourth line and he was playing with Bozak as opposed to Tavares, and that's a big, big difference. But making that jump from 69 to 80, it doesn't feel significant, but it is. I mean, that puts you in a whole new category. And there's only so much ice time to go around. And the past couple of years, the power play in Toronto has gone through Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if that will continue. Now that Matthews is on that line,
how can it not, though?
Because if Matthews is there, Matthews clearly, he wants to be on that top unit, but he doesn't want to be a decoy.
Yeah, but
the puck's got to hit his stick.
But if you're them, Marner has to be kind of your conductor.
Right? I would do that.
On the right side, and you put Matthews on the left, and you've got Tavares by the net and Kadri in the middle. Like, you just have tons of options.
You do have options. I guess what I'm saying is last year, the other side, I think, was Bozak, and when he touched the puck, it was like, get it off your stick and send it back to Mitch. If Matthews gets it on his stick, he's not thinking, I got to get it over to Mitch. He's going to be making plays on his own. It's going to change.
But it would start with Marner.
I would assume if everything sets up properly, it should go through Marner. I think with ice, his vision and his attention to detail and his talents are just amplified in those positions. But for both of them to hit 80-plus is asking a lot when there's only so many minutes to go around. I think they both get 70-plus, but I'm going to say 45%.
Wow.
45%.
That's low.
45%.
If it were up to Babs, Josh Levo would be shipped off to Beijing permanently. But Dubas will win this battle, and Levo will be in the opening night lineup. 6'2", can skate and shoot. He must have some bar play. So does Bill Daly.
Is Bill Daly over in China, too? I haven't seen him. I don't know.
I don't know.
Levo needs to find another tooth, though, for him to have some bar play. He's got that.
You don't need a tooth when you play for the Leafs.
Jerry's got him in the lineup opening night. One of the 12 forwards playing against the Montreal Canadiens.
I'm
going to
say 78% because I just want it to happen. I like the kid. I think he's a good player. I think he's an NHL player. I don't know where in the lineup he goes, but I'm saying 78% because I want to see it.
I'll say like 7%.
But know this, before you answer. Regardless of the power in the organization, Mike Babcock makes that lineup.
Yes, absolutely. And he should. He's the head coach.
Yes.
So that's exactly the point. I'll say 7%.
I'm going 78% because I'm hoping. I think it should be that way. But if Mike Babcock doesn't want it that way, he makes the lineup every night. And I'm pretty sure that was when he signed his contract. Pay me whatever you want. But when it comes to that lineup on that yellow piece of paper, I'm writing it.
Yep, it should be.
Okay, 7%.
7% for Jones.
The only way I can see it happening is if Nylander continues to be without a contract on opening night and someone gets hurt.
I'm looking at it differently. I don't think it's a coincidence he was on the line he was on last night. You know, a lot of people are focused on Tyler Ennis, and they're saying, wow, Ennis is getting an opportunity to show himself. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's in a position that he will never have.
Yes.
That is William Nylander's spot. Tyler Ennis is never going to push him out of the lineup. Where else is Ennis going to play? This idea that Tyler Ennis, I don't know if he's a better player than Josh Levo. He's been in the league a long time. He just got bought out for a reason. So you're telling I get the impression it's either Ennis or Levo on that third line.
No.
If Lindholm stays with Johnsson and Kapanen.
I think that whole Johnsson thing is
okay, but then on the fourth
rookie,
line.
You're a rookie.
That's fine. But then on the fourth line, who is the other winger, I guess is what I'm getting to. Matt Ennis. Martin's not here anymore. Who is it?
Ennis.
Okay. I think Josh Levo can outplay Tyler Ennis.
Or it's one of those guys from the Marlies who somehow I don't see it happening,
like Grundstrom or something.
Somebody like that.
I think Levo should have the upper hand. I think he's better than those
guys.
But
we know how Mike Babcock feels.
Right. I know that, but that was with Matt Martin kicking around. That's with Van Riemsdyk on the left side. That's with Leo Komarov here. Guys have left, and they haven't filled those spots. Wow. So I'm going to say 60%.
Wow.
Listen.
You guys are operating
Jerry's
with your hearts.
Right.
I'm operating with my mind.
No. Jerry's right. Based on the past 2 years, Babcock...
3 years?
3 years has basically intimated he would prefer Josh Levo was living in Beijing, China, and not in front of him every day at the MasterCard Center in the ACC. I just don't know what the option is.
Did you hear his reaction when someone told him that Levo was excited that he was playing with Kadri and Brown? Not happy. Not impressed.
Really?
Oh, I missed
out on
that. Watch that clip.
When was that?
That was over the weekend in Niagara. So we were talking to Levo, and he said, you know, and rightfully so, like, he was excited. He's like, I'm on a regular line. I'm playing with regulars. That kind of gives me some extra motivation. And you know how Mike Babcock is. If he hears that, ball game.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand what is wrong
with
that. It's
basically, because he said basically that in past years he wasn't in training camp lines with guys who are going to make the team.
Right.
And you know Babcock, he's like, you determine your destiny. If you think that matters, then...
I love that. It's not true, though, because Babcock, like, I love Babcock.
It is and it's not.
No, but he's like, you know, the power play, they're going to figure it out. You go out there and score. No, that's not true. You know, like, that's not the way it works. You know, whoever goes out there and plays the best, they're going to play. No.
Well, that's what happened last year. They didn't use Matthews. When?
That's on the power play, but I'm talking about in general. You know, like a kid will come up and Josh Levo's a great example. Like Levo would score goals and it'd be like, you're out of the lineup.
Ben Smith and all those fourth line centers.
Anyway.
He likes.
I think Levo's got a shot just based on, I don't know who the other options are. Tyler Ennis.
What's that line about those who ignore history are doomed to
repeat it? That's right. We'll see.
Patrick Mahomes will throw for 50 plus touchdowns this season.
Well, he's got 10 through 2 weeks. He's got 14 more games to throw 40 touchdowns. That's asking a lot for a rookie quarterback. But he's got maybe the best offensive weapons in the league real close. You know, Pittsburgh would be there if Le'Veon Bell was in camp. But you got Tyreek Hill. You've got Kelce at tight end. You've got Kareem Hunt on running back. Mahomes looks legit, man. I think there's a chance he throws for 50.
I'm going to say 70%. He could just be this, the new thing in the NFL.
The new Carson Wentz?
Yeah. Deshaun Watson.
Well, and that's what's going on in the NFL.
By the way, there is some jackass in a high school that made comments about Deshaun.
Yeah, I saw that. About you can't win with a black quarterback or whatever. Like, the guy's just a dope. Like, he's an idiot.
Should be thrown in jail.
Yeah, it's just, well,
anyway,
it's such a stupid take. But anyway, I'm not going to go really high on this because he's got a reality check coming at some point. He is a rookie.
He does.
But with all those weapons and his arm looks great and Andy Reid's a wizard in terms of offense, I'm going to give him 30%. Which is crazy. 30% for 50 touchdowns as a rookie. But
what did I say? 70?
You were really high.
80? I'll go 80.
Okay.
Wow. I'll go between 40%. I just think if they traded Alex Smith, who's like a reliable quarterback, Andy Reid must know something or have some inclination that this guy was going to be good.
Watch the tape of the first 2 weeks. Right? He's done that on the road in L.A. and in Pittsburgh. He hasn't played a home game. He's got 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
His kid is money. And
flat money,
and the way the NFL is trending with offensive numbers and quarterbacks putting up crazy, crazy stats. I mean, we'll see.
Josh Gordon will finish the season with the New England Patriots.
If he does one stupid f-ing thing, he'll be gonzo. Mark my words.
I think Jerry's right about that. He was at practice today. He's got a number. He's got a stall. The hammy must have checked out. They're in Detroit, I believe, on Monday night. Matt Patricia, who has been a disaster, going up against his former team, Belichick, coming off a bad loss in Jacksonville. But I don't really trust Josh Gordon, you know? I mean, I hope it works out for him. It's all been self-inflicted pain. By all accounts, he hasn't ruined anybody else's life.
I don't trust the guy either. It's like sometimes when you just got that and you're... The demons are in you. I don't know. Just something happens. I'm going to give it 35%.
I'll give him
35 is just because it's just a great football opportunity, and you would think you'd be smart enough to realize that,
right.
But I still think that it could fall off the deep end on the other side.
Well, and I think what Jerry said is appropriate. I'm sure Belichick has already read him the riot act and said, it's simple, man. You're here 1 second late. You're cut.
Yeah.
If I hear of you doing anything, you're cut.
Yes.
Like, we don't owe you anything. We're giving you an opportunity. It's a great opportunity. But I don't trust him, man. I just don't. This guy's been suspended. Yeah. He's missed 2 full seasons. 35. I'm going to say 25%.
I'll say 20. Just because, like, we've seen in the past, they sometimes have taken on guys like this and kind of turned them around. But, like, we would look at Randy Moss as one big example. But Randy Moss wasn't... This.
He never got suspended for 2 years.
He didn't stop playing
he
for
got
5 years.
Right. He just, you know, talked a lot and mooned people and stuff like that. But
yeah.
And Randy Moss, you know, everyone's using the comparison because Gordon's 6'4", 220, can run a 4.3 40. He's not Randy Moss.
No.
He never has been. He never will be.
Well, he had one really good year and
exceptional year. He led the league in receiving yards, I believe, and had 15 touchdowns. And then the demons found him, man, and he hasn't been the same ever since. But the Pats would love if he stays clean and performs with Gronk and with Edelman. They got options, man, and Brady.
Well, and they signed Cordarrelle Patterson.
Right.
I don't remember how to say his name.
I don't know either. Corduroy.
But he's a similar kind of case in some ways, like a guy with like really high potential who just didn't...
Can't put it together. He had a great year in Mini, and then he was like, see you later.
Take this one to the bank. The failing Ottawa Senators will be the worst Canadian team this season. Wait for it.
Does he ever say they're a team?
He must have not put it in.
Did he cut it out? Because I thought Jerry was going to make a joke about Pierre Dorion last night.
What a dope. He wrecked it.
Graps. The grappler.
Do you have any explanation for what you just did?
No, that was all that was recorded.
Attaboy. No. It's not
there
the grappler.
There was no addition to the script.
Right. It was Jerry. Jerry's calling him from Beijing.
He was supposed to say, wait for it. We're a team. Which was very bizarre.
Yeah, that was a scene out of Curb Your Enthusiasm pregame last night. Pierre Dorion with just a softball on a tee. You should crush that question. And it turns into a Curb Your Enthusiasm skit. Anyway, Jerry's got Ottawa as a lock. 7 out of 7. The worst Canadian team.
Lock. Yeah, lock.
You're saying 100%?
100%. As much as I don't like Montreal, they're whore-awful.
I've been watching hockey and sports too long to ever say 100%. Because I don't think Vancouver's going to be great either. Vancouver, they could be in for a long season. Their fans want them to tank. They want Jack Hughes. They want Quinn and Jack, and they want their GM to step up there, do his thing, like The Undertaker or like Paul Bearer.
We're gonna take Quinn Hughes' brother, Jack.
That's what they're hoping for. The draft is in Vancouver next year.
We really want Jack Hughes.
So I'm not putting Vancouver on a pedestal. Montreal, I don't think, is very good. If Carey Price is poor or gets hurt, Montreal's right there.
Game over. 100%, though. They're the worst.
60%.
Dude, it's 100.
60%.
Don't piss around. It's 100.
There's three teams. Ottawa, Montreal, and Vancouver all have the potential to be a bottom five team.
If you were Ottawa, would you be at all
thinking...
Put
the percentage on it, Beagle.
Okay, 40%.
40%?
Yeah, I still think Montreal could be bad, and I still think Vancouver could be bad. But what I was going to say before you interrupted... If you were Ottawa, would you be concerned with like trading any of these guys like Stone or Duchesne because it's going to make you worse?
Any team that buckles, like the Leafs did it, they kept JVR, they kept
Boza.
You got to keep some players.
But I'm saying because the chances of them getting the number one pick will go up, and then that's even more embarrassment.
They don't give a rat's ass about the number one pick because they're not getting it.
Yeah, but it's going to be exactly. What you're saying is, because this is what the Leafs did with the Lindros draft. They had traded the pick away, and they had to go out there and acquire players so that they weren't dead last.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we can't finish last and hand this pick over first overall to New Jersey. So they had to acquire players to make sure that they didn't finish last. I think that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Ottawa wants to
be
good enough.
You don't want to be embarrassed.
I know that, but the lottery is ultimately going to determine that.
We'll give it the LeBron chair noise.
About what?
Getting
signing
new players, yeah. Oh, yeah? You want to spend money?
I think you got to sign Stone. I think they almost have to sign Duchesne because he's the linchpin of the whole problem. You acquired him and gave
up
that
pick. You don't want to make everything worse.
But he's not. He's a good player.
He's a good player. So Stone. But, like, where is that?
But who's going to play for you? At some point, like, this is where you use the Maple Leaf comparison. Now, these guys are at a much higher price point. But Kadri's still here. Gardner's still here.
Yeah.
You know, Bozak stuck around. You need some players to stick around and be here in 3 or 4 years when you hopefully dig yourself out of it. So,
but you're going to have to overpay those players, maybe.
You might have to. Now, I think Stone is worth almost every penny he's going to get. He's a really good player. Yep. Really good player. You know,
and but are the assets that you could get back in a trade more valuable?
Well, I think
you're not good.
You ask how many first round picks can you get, because they've got to get first rounders. They got to get a first round pick in this upcoming draft. You're tanking, and you don't have a pick in 2019.
Scary stuff.
Scary. That is Jerry's Percentages, brought to you by Best Portuguese Chicken
and Jerry's Jewelers. Every kiss begins with Jerry.
Joe Bowen live from Ottawa ahead of the game tonight. It's Leaf Sens, Austin Matthews going, Freddie Anderson going. Sounds like Rasmus Sandin. Is it Sandin or Sandin? I always screw that up.
Grappler, you screwed me on the percentages. It says we're a team. I know I said it.
No, we got it right here.
Al, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
We can go through the recording during break.
It. Doesn't say it.
It's all good. The grappler, he pays attention to detail. He gets in the corners.
Well, why would they let it go that long if there was nothing said?
It was an awkward pause because you said that you had said it. I was waiting for, or Jerry said that he had said it.
I said it. I'll go in there and find it, grappler.
Right. It doesn't matter.